right. So, for our message this morning, I'm so excited to announce Cole is going to be coming to preach. You can come on up, Cole. We've been so excited hey, there you go. Look at that. There you go. Many of you were here when Cole preached before. We've just been really excited with what God is doing in Cole's life and just this, ability to share. And it's, we are the church. We're called to grow and help one another, right? It's not just me or Pastor Aaron leading. It's us as the church that we get a chance to minister to one another. So we're excited to have that happen today. So I'm going to pray for him, and then I'll grab the kids, and we'll be dismissed for children's church. So let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you and praise you, God, of Lord over all. And I just pray that you would just be with this time, God. I pray that you would just convict us all, God, and help us all follow after you, God, and follow closely after you. I pray that you just be with Cole, bless him and his words, God. May the word, your word, never return void, God. And may we hear it today, God, and follow after it each and every day this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's good for you all to be here. I'm grateful that you are here, especially new people that came to watch me. You know who you are. So today I'm going to be preaching on how to put God first. And what has led me, the Holy Spirit, to me teaching this message is that in this world, I see that if you look at the news and everything that's going on, Everybody's trying to be their own boss. When us people are our own boss, it doesn't work because we were not meant to be the boss. The Lord was the one who was meant to be the boss, and he knows everything and we don't. So if we try to be our own boss, then it's going to be chaos like what is happening in the U.S. right now. Putting God first. And so I used an example of, I really like Lionel trains. So this is this is Union Pacific Big Boy number 4014. And that, the cars and the locomotive could act as imagery of the locomotive being God and the cars being us. And the cars, they don't have motors, they don't run. That's why the locomotive is there. If you don't have a locomotive, then there's no way for the cars to deliver. So that's how it should work with our life. The Lord's the one leading us, and we are following his steps. And I know that's hard because I really haven't had any experience because I'm only 16. And it's hard enough at school. And so we can put God first in everything we do because we look at the example of Jesus. All through his life, he had people that were downcasting him. Even his own town didn't accept him. And we will go to the passage of Luke 22, verse 39, when he prays in the garden. That is an example of how he does God's will. And I'll read it. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." And before I read on, I want to keynote this verse, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." He says, "Yet not my will but yours be done." That's how our life should be. Our life should be an example, a light of what God has to do for us. And sometimes what God wants us to do is anguishing. Jesus, he said, "Father, take this cup from me," because he knew what was going to happen. He was going to suffer. And if you ever watched Passion of Christ, I watched that movie and I stopped halfway through because it was so horrible. Just imagine Jesus going through that. But he chose to go through that because he knew that on the other side there was heaven. And that's why we all should praise the Lord and put God first, because the Lord's going to be the one who's judging us. And so if we are on his side, then we will gain eternal life. But if we are on the world's side and on the devil's side, we're doomed. And so my first point is, put God first in your mind. And when he says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." When he is praying here, there's nothing bothering him, because it says he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. And so he isolated himself to pray to God and to see if he could get this cross taken away from him. And so when we put God first in our mind, we pray. When we pray, we isolate ourselves and we talk to God. And even in the middle of the day, I find myself talking to God, because at school I have to talk to God all the time, or else I get lost. And so when we want God's advice, when we want to do His will, we have to be in constant communication with Him. And so our mind, that's where it all starts. If your mind is focused on the Lord, then your actions are going to follow that. And so the mind, it is an instrument for what the Lord wants us to do, because we think about it, and the Lord puts it into our mind, and then we do it. And the mind, we don't even fully understand it yet. So the Lord made the mind so complex, and He's the only one that knows the mind, and He's the one that knows our future. The Lord knows our future, so if we keep Him first in our mind, then He will lead us into the future. And then the next point is, put God first in your actions. And so with that, actions are the hardest thing, because with the world today, you look at the news alone, you can easily be swayed to do the wrong thing, and it takes courage and it takes faith to do the right thing. But we should do the right thing, because if we don't do the right thing, who's going to be the next one? And there's a song, "Open My Eyes," and that points out that we look at people that need help. If our neighbor needs help or something, we look at them, and sometimes we forget about it. We act like it's no big deal. But what if we all, as a community in Tyrone, throughout the whole world, we all look to each neighbor as somebody that needs help? And even in school, I see people that need help all the time. And the way and how I always do it is I go to them and I say, "Are you okay?" And if they're not, they talk to me about it. And then I try to help them get through it with what the Lord has given me. And then sometimes what's the amazing part is they ask me about the Lord. And sometimes I even prayed for people. And so our actions are what people look at. And in ninth grade, I did a Bible study every Tuesday for an hour, and that I love that, and I miss that so much. And through that, my actions after that Bible study, between those Bible studies, people saw it, and the Lord was faithful, and He brought people to the Bible studies, and the seats were full every time. And so I have a story from camp over the summer. There was a guest speaker, and we were around the campfire, and he said in Afghanistan there were a group of teenagers. They went out to the campfire to have a youth group, and then there was a terrorist that came in, and there was a kid. He took the kid in the middle of everybody, and he said, "Deny your Christ and worship Baal." And the kid said, I don't know much about Baal, but I am a soldier in the army of God." And then the terrorist cut off his one arm, and then he said it again, "Deny your Christ and worship Baal." And the kid said the same thing again, "I don't know much about Baal, but I'm a soldier in the army of God." And then he cut off his other arm. And then he said it again, "Deny your God and worship Baal." And then he said it again, "I don't know much about Baal, but I know I'm a soldier in the army of God." And then he cut him in half. But what our faith, just imagine what our faith could be in America if we live like that. People over there, They believe in China and over there. They believe and they know that their life could get their faith could get them killed very easily. But what do they choose? They choose to follow Christ anyway because they know that even if somebody kills them, then they'll still have eternal life. And we should not be afraid of the people of this world, but we should be afraid of the one who can destroy our soul. The devil can destroy our soul, and he is constantly trying to mess Christ's work up, and he won't do because in the end we'll win anyway. But we should have enough faith in America. I pray for a revival. I'm up here because I want a revival. I want the Lord to be worshipped through everything I do, and I want to see a revival because I see this world, and it's sad to me because it seems that it has fallen. America, it was built on faith, and when the pilgrims came, they came and Thanksgiving. Is they gave thanks to God. And so through our American history, even in the Constitution, that it points out God in there. And the world leaders are trying to erase that. The public school system is trying to erase that and make it sound like this country just was founded for no apparent reason. This country is a country special because us Christians, we don't face persecution like they do in China and that. We have the free choice to socialize here for me to teach you about the Lord. So we should use that to further the kingdom, and America of all nations should be the leading nation of Christianity. And I believe that if we are all willing to put God first, then he will do it. Because if we put God first, all things are possible. There's nothing not possible for God. And so with that, every chance I get, I want to tell people about the Lord. I love telling people about the Lord. In school, if you ask my friends if I'm a Christian, they'll be like, oh yeah, he's a Christian. And so, but through that, I made good friends at camp. I made really good friends. Bubba came, and I made other amazing friends, and that was awesome. And through my actions, when I was at camp, I got to tell people about my story. Years ago, when I was like 12 and younger, I was not a Christian. I did not follow the Lord, and I just didn't. But then I made a radical change. When with my time, I make sure it's all for the Lord. I have my trains, and then for TV, I watch PureFlix. You all probably heard of PureFlix. It's the same cost as Netflix, but it is faith. And so I watch movies on there, and 90% of the time, I'm blown away. And so through those movies, I can strengthen my faith, and then my Bible reading. I love reading my Bible, and I make it a priority at least every other day to read like 5 to 10 chapters. And through that, the Lord gives me wisdom so that I can be able to teach people that need the help, because right now, more than ever, I believe that America needs help. America needs help really bad. And so with us putting God first in our actions, we can show people what God has to offer, and we can show them that if we put God first in this nation will be the best nation there is. And so the next point is, put God first in your heart. And in Jesus' heart, when he prayed, his prayer, he said, when he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So he prayed so much, and his heart was so overwhelmed that he was praying and like drops of blood falling to the ground. There was blood falling to the ground from him praying. And with that, we should see the example. When we pray, we should pray to talk to God, and we should plead. And so when I pray about something hard, I plead. And when we put God first, we should always go to Him in prayer, always go to Him for the first advice. So we go to God for that advice, and then we know what to do. And in this world, we need to have time for prayer. We need to have time to read the Bible and reflect on what God is teaching us through the Bible. And that is putting God first. Putting God first is actions, mind, and heart. So our heart, it's an amazing thing that our feelings come from. And so our feelings toward God should be amazing, should be loving. And through that loving, when we put God first in our heart, it goes to our actions, and then we can teach other people that. And when I live an example and people give me compliments, I tell them, it's not me, it's the Lord. Because the Lord is the one that changed my heart. If I didn't have the Lord in the equation, I wouldn't be doing this, because the Lord is the one speaking through me. And so my life, I want to be an example of how to put God first so I can teach other people. Be able to pass it on to the next generation, and then they can pass it on to the next generation. So our life is a life that we should put God first. So we put God first in our heart, mind, and actions. All that, if we did all that, then our life would be Christ-centered. We love the Lord. All of us love the Lord in here. So we put God first, and we do everything He tells us. And it's hard to do everything that God tells us, because our flesh, our body, our heart wants to do sin. And so we're constantly battling, but with God, all things are possible. So therefore, we can overcome it. I just love the hearing stories about people doing what the Lord has to do, going on the internet and seeing somebody do something good, because sadly the news decides to cover all the bad stuff, even though there is a bunch of good out there. There's a lot of good out there, but the news doesn't want to cover it because it doesn't get views. But the news shouldn't care about views. They should care about showing people that there is a change. There is a change, that people are putting God first, and that this nation is coming back to Christ, because I believe that this nation can come back to Christ. But it has to start with you and me putting God first. It doesn't start with the next person. It starts with one person each, and then it blooms. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I've given you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." When we put God first in our life, other people should see it, and other people should be overflown with what they see from us and want to know the Lord. May you all go putting God first.